following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for tuning in, dialing up, streaming down, whatever it is that you do to get this program. Certainly do appreciate you doing it. You know, we're available now on Spotify. Just look for From Radioland from Spotify. They're on Spotify. And there you are. It's just that simple. Oh, my goodness. It's good to spread ourselves around, and in the process of spreading one around, you tend to get into you get a lot of email. Yeah, if you run a business and you've got the email, you know what I'm talking about. There's a phenomena that a lot of businesses like to talk about, and that is the use of or they strive to get into what is called zero inbox. Are you familiar with that term? Zero inbox is where you got everything is covered. Your box is empty. Personally, I think that's impossible. I don't think that's a thing. I don't really think that you can really get to a zero inbox. I know this because I do spend at least two or three, about half my week going through email and sorting it out and making sure that everything that needs to be covered is covered. Yeah, it's a lofty goal, you know, to have the email, covered and done. But the second you get down to, hey, no new emails, within about, 15, 20 minutes, there's more that comes in. And everybody gets pushed and pushed and pushed. And, you know, It's what you do. It's what you try and keep up with everything as best as possible. I use of course I have a Gmail set up and I have the Gmail app. I've got it set up where all of our company email comes through that app. So it all comes to me in one form or another. And along with everything else that goes with it, it's all right there. You have to spend a little bit of time. It's almost a full-time job, really, going through it and making sure that everybody is sending it to the right stuff. You get a lot of spam. Your spam filters do what they can, and then you get a lot of junk. You get a lot of stuff that's, a lot of invitations. You get a lot of stuff that it's just not going to work, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it is. It's like social media. It can be a full-time job staying on top of it. And I know there's solutions. There's tons of them out there. I'm not going to get into all that because I'm a little more hands-on when it comes to this sort of stuff. I prefer to be it that way. I really do. I don't know how accurate that may turn out to be in the long run, but nevertheless, you do what you do. So there it is. Coming up on this episode from Radioland, we're going to delve into something that's really kind of, I've been wanting to get into this for a little bit of time. There's a little bit of production that has gone into this particular episode. I say this now as I record this. But there's this phenomena that is out there, called ASMR. It's all over YouTube. There's a kid out there, a 13-year-old kid that is creating videos under ASMR with millions of views. I dove deep into it this past week. I took a good long look at what this is all about and I was astounded by it. And it's a fad. It's a thing. I don't think it's going to last much longer on the internet. It's a thing. I'll explain it. We'll get into it. ASMR, what it stands for, Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. I'll explain it. We created some to see if we could get that type of deal, what it's supposed to. I'll get into all of it. So stick around. We'll get into ASMR. Yep. Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. Yep. That's what's happening on this episode from Radioland. And it comes up right after this here from Radioland. Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library.
Go to MemphisBrewBus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
ASMR. It is, it's known as what it stands for. It's an acronym, of course. Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. I went down the rabbit hole, so you didn't have to. It's a deep rabbit hole, too. It's interesting. Perhaps you've heard of this. Maybe your kids are into this. Maybe you are. I don't know. That's why I wanted to give you my take on what was going on with all this. I looked it up, did a little bit of research, and of course went straight over to Wikipedia because, well, they're Wikipedia. They're the encyclopedia of the internet. ASMR, here's what they said, is an experience characterized by a static-like or tingling sensation on the skin that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and upper spine. It has been compared with auditory tactile synesthesia and may overlap with frizzin. It signifies the subjective experience of low-grade euphoria characterized by a combination of positive feelings and a distinct static-like tingling sensation on the skin. It is most commonly triggered by a specific auditory or visual stimuli and less commonly by intentional attention control. In other words, you hear something, a sound, and it gives you the goosebumps. I've heard of people that say they'll hear a particular piece of music or a selection of a tune, and they get the goosebumps because, you know, they get kind of sort of turned on about it. And that's what this is in a way. But see, it goes beyond music. It's particular sounds. In the world of ASMR, it turns out that most of this occurs through the recording and the dissemination of mundane activities, mostly audio. That's why, from here on out, I recommend that you have earbuds in or headphones or something, because I've created a few of these types of sounds, and we're going to play them back with the triggers, because there are triggers involved. All right, now let me explain this, how this works. According to Wikipedia, the subjective experience, sensation, and perceptual phenomena, now widely identified by the term autonomous sensory meridian response, is described by some of those susceptible to it as akin to mild electrical current or the carbonated bubbles in a glass of champagne. Okay. I guess it would be that feeling. That's what they're saying here. That the carbonated bubbles in a glass of champagne, that feeling on your skin. But it's triggered by sound. And to a certain extent, some visual elements as well. Now, triggers. This is kind of key, and this is sort of how this sort of works. ASMR, usually precipitated by stimuli referred to as a trigger. These triggers, which are most commonly auditory and visual, may be encountered through the interpersonal interactions of daily life. Additionally, ASMR is often triggered by exposure to specific audio and video. Such media may be specially made with the specific purpose of triggering ASMR, or originally created for other purposes and later discovered to be effective as a trigger of the experience. Well, this is the door that led me down the rabbit hole. If you were to go to YouTube, and after you're done listening to this, and if you're still interested in how all this works, open up YouTube and do a search for ASMR. And there's a shitload of stuff out there. There's this kid. She goes by the name of Rapunzel. She's a teenager, and she makes these videos, and they're intense, brother. They are absolutely intense, and they go for, like, you know, 20, 30 minutes, sometimes as long as an hour. It's fascinating, and they have millions of views for a low-grade euphoria. Have a shot of whiskey and, I don't know, watch some Simpsons, I guess. I'm being glib, of course. Now, there's a very distinct pattern to how all of this works, and that's what I had to recreate here to hopefully pass this on to you people that are listening to this. So you have to create these triggers. Now, that stimuli that can trigger this as you know, this is reported by those who experience it, are this: listening to a softly spoken or whispering voice. So before something happens, there'll be somebody that whispers, okay? Listening to quiet, repetitive sounds resulting from someone engaging in a mundane task such as turning the pages of a book. You won't hear that in this one, I can guarantee you that. Watching somebody attentively execute a mundane task such as preparing food, loudly chewing, crunching, slurping, or biting foods, drinks, or gum, receiving personal attention, initiating the stimulus through conscious manipulation without the need for external video or audio triggers, listening to tapping, typically nails onto surfaces such as plastic, wood, metal, etc., hand movements, especially onto one's face. Those are the triggers that are associated with ASMR. So once I was armed with this bit of information and thus created something, I followed the pattern, as one would, of how some of these ASMR videos and podcasts, there's a ton of podcasts on this sort of thing that are done as well. Now, before I go any further, hopefully you're under headphones or you're in earbuds, there's going to be a bit of change in the dynamics of the volume here. In other words, this is as loud as it's going to get. Don't crank up your volume any louder than what you need to be, because what you're going to hear beyond this and some of the examples that I have for you are going to be softer, which is just sort of how this works. It's supposed to be about the cleanliness of it, if you will, the clean audio. Nowadays, with the technology that we have, we can record some stuff in dynamic ranges. It's a lot more simple to do some of the things. Now, the question that I had going into this is that, well, are you merely listening to sound effects? In a way you are, but there's this trigger, and that's what's pointing this out. And these triggers have been identified. Psychologist, Nick Davis and Emma Barrett discovered that whispering was an effective trigger for 75% of the 475 subjects who took part in an experiment to investigate the nature of ASMR, and that statistic is reflected in the popularity of intentional ASMR videos and audio that compromise someone speaking in a whispered voice. So what you'll hear, I'll give you an example. We'll go ahead and we'll start with one here, and we'll talk about it. I have five examples that we're going to get into. Maybe six. Here's the first one, and it's real simple, and I made this myself. I don't know how effective this is. I'm apparently not susceptible to this because I went back and I listened to it and it did nothing for me. Perhaps it will for you. So here it is. Here's the first very, I don't know, benign look at what ASMR is kind of about and how this works. And these are all relatively short. So, you know, I don't know, if you're not driving, if you're sitting somewhere quiet or relatively quiet and you want to just kind of calm for a moment, you want to chill, check out this first one.
Slicing and eating a piece of apple, then pouring a drink.
And yes, the apple was delicious, but that's what that was. Okay. That's the very first one. Cutting an apple. It's mundane. There are sounds. It plays with the stereo, idea there for a moment. In theory, you should have felt some type of a euphoria or a tingling sensation, perhaps in the scalp, moving down your neck into your shoulders, maybe down your down your sternum, according to the studies here. Let's continue on. Here's the second part of this first one here. Check this one out.
Going outside to enjoy my drink.
So there it is, relatively mundane stuff. the cutting and eating of an apple, the pouring of a drink, and then one taking the drink from in this particular case from the kitchen down the front of the house and to the front porch where, you know, such as it was. All right, so if all of this seems baffling to you, I totally get it. But here's something that's really quite interesting about it. The contemporary history of this stuff began in October of 2007. So it's been around for a bit, 12 years, 11 and a half. And it started on a discussion forum for health-related subjects at a website called Steady Health. It's all according to Wikipedia here. A 21-year-old registered user with the handle OKWhatever submitted a post describing having experienced a specific sensation since childhood comparable to that stimulated by tracing fingers along the skin, you know, very lightly, yet often triggered by seemingly random and unrelated non-haptic events, non-touching events, such as watching a puppet show or being read a story. Now, replies to that post indicated that a significant number of other people had experienced the sensation, which this particular person had described, and also in response to witnessing mundane events. Those interchanges precipitated the formation of a number of web-based locations intended to facilitate further discussion and analysis of the phenomena, for which there were plentiful anecdotal accounts, yet no consensus agreed name nor any specific data or explanation. Hence, here come the scientists. And a little bit more history. Austrian writer Clemens Setz suggested that a passage from the novel Mrs. Dalloway, written by Virginia Woolf, published in 1925, describes something distinctly comparable. In the passage from Mrs. Dalloway, cited by Setz, a nursemaid speaks to the man who is her patient, deeply, softly, like a mellow organ, but with a roughness in her voice like a grasshopper's, which rasped his spine deliciously and sent running up into his brain waves of sound. Uh-huh. Okay, like I said, this hasn't really done anything for me thus far. But this is the thing. This is all over the internet. Hell, corporations have gotten involved. There was a Super Bowl ad that had use of this sort of idea, trying to sell a glass of beer or something to that effect. Any rate, the effectiveness of the human voice and a soft or whispered vocal sound specifically as a trigger of ASMR, for those who experience, is demonstrated by the responsive comments posted to YouTube videos that depict someone speaking softly or whispering, typically directly to the camera. Is this a trick of the brain? I don't know. I'm no scientist. There's certainly that. There's so much of how all of this sort of plays out in one's head that it in a way you could look at this as maybe perhaps being hypnotized by sound, which is, I guess, a thing if you're susceptible to such sort of things or not. According to the study here, some ASMR video creators use binaural recording techniques to simulate the acoustics of a three-dimensional environment, left, right, back, front, in essence, or the room itself, which I'm about to demonstrate for you here in one that I've recorded. Now, this is about as binaural as it gets. You have two ears, one on each side, which, by the way, let me get to the ears before I play this thing. There is a video out there, and I can't remember who put it out, and it won't take much to find it, but there's this woman who does this ASMR video, and she has a recorder that she shows you, and it has, you know, a left side and a right side, you know, and I have one, and you're about to hear it. But she fitted out this thing with some type of prosthetic that allowed her to simulate, get this, simulate the licking of one's ears. And that's supposed to trigger this ASMR phenomena. I don't know. But by and large, what you do hear is stuff like this, where someone is playing with the recorder, playing with the microphones. Listen to this.
Playing with the stereo of the recorder. Talking from one side. Jesus, this shit is stupid.
Okay, so there it is. I'm having a bit of fun with technology there. And as simple and bizarre and weird as that was, it's supposed to trigger this, well, this, what they call a brain orgasm. I'm just reporting what I'm seeing here. I'm telling you, because when you go through the studies of all of this, and there's a ton of it out there, my friends, there's a ton of it. The words Bob Ross come into play. You know who Bob Ross was, right? Bob Ross with The Joy of Painting. Apparently, Bob Ross, and if you've never seen those videos, they're easy to, he ran on public television for years, and he had this show about the joy of painting and teach you how to paint and all this other stuff. He's a very calming, very neat guy. He was a very, very friendly man. It was like another type of Mr. Rogers, a very sweet, sweet man. And he would have this, you know, all the happy little trees, you know, that sort of thing. And he would paint, and he would show you that anybody could do this. Well, I mention that because even after Bob's passing several years ago, The Joy of Painting, that show, both broadcast and on YouTube, are still hugely popular. Not to sound like, you know, Trump, hugely. They're still massive. They're big shows. And a lot of that has to do with that perhaps we have been subjected to ASMR the whole time. Even Bob probably didn't realize what was going on. Because it's an example of unintentional media, several journalists have noted as famed painter Bob Ross in episodes of his popular television series, The Joy of Painting, both broadcast on YouTube. His soft, gentle speaking mannerisms and the sound of him painting and the tools triggered the effect on many of his viewers. That could be something. I don't know if it was like this trigger in your head, but you felt calm. While you were watching this show, you felt at ease. You felt a bit safe. Like I said, you go back to Mr. Rogers. He was sort of the same way. But did it trigger this orgasmic thing? Now, this brain orgasm thing. Now, this I bring this up because there were apparently the individual who coined the term ASMR. And like I said, there are just literally millions of places to go and about, you know, to find this sort of stuff. But here's one such site, and I'll link it in the description here. ASMRuniversity.com has a whole ton of stuff about it, and it is it's really the rabbit hole that it will, it's the whole brain tingles. But apparently this lady who had created the term ASMR, or autonomous sensory meridian response, didn't call it that initially. She apparently had called it autonomous sensory orgasmic response. But apparently, there were some people, and maybe in her peer group, that said, you might want to change that third word, maybe, I don't know, do something else. And that's what she did. So orgasmic came to meridian, for good or ill, who knows. But that's what happened here. But what I have determined, that most everything that I have found in ASMR have gone from the absurd to the mundane. Quite frankly, that's the really weird part about this. Now, the absurd, the Rapunzel girl that I mentioned earlier, just search her out there in YouTube land, and you can see what I'm talking about. She makes mouth noises, unintelligible whispering, clicks and whatnot with her teeth and her tongue and her lips to make some interesting sounds that supposedly trigger this response. And she just does this. And of course, I have to admit that what is funny about her videos is is that, you know, she plainly tells you, you know, get yourself ready to be 100% triggered into the ASMR experience. And then off you go. And then about, I don't know, a third of the way through, when you think you're kind of into it, you're kind of chilled and you relax a little bit, it dumps into a YouTube ad because she's monetized her videos for, you know, for her benefit, of course. And it's like, hi, this is Barry Allen with Flex Tape. You know, it's that kind of shit that starts happening. It's like, whoa, shit, you know, catch you completely off guard. So she kind of shoots herself in the ass along the way on this whole thing. But nevertheless, I'm off topic. But her absurdity supposedly is the big trigger. The other really massive trigger is stuff of the mundane. Here's another example that I recorded here.
Typing on a keyboard.
Yeah, pretty basic, really. I was just responding to a message that I had received on the Facebook Messenger, and I had the recorder here. I thought, well, let me just do this while I'm responding. So that's where that came from. Perhaps that triggered something for you. I don't know. By the way, I'd like to know if it did. If any of this does anything for you, I don't know, drop a line. Radioland at PirateRadioStudios.com if this was one of those things, or depending on where you're consuming this, you know, leave a comment. Maybe you found it on our Facebook pages or whatever. If you can, you know, if you can comment, please, I'd love to hear about it. If not, if you want to just shoot an email, you're more than welcome to do that as well. I'm just fascinated by this because being a person who works in audio, who's worked in the radio business most of my life, this is a new phenomenon to me, even though that this is has been out there relatively a while. But before I go on, let me lay this on you. It's almost impossible to really quantify it scientifically. I mean, if you think about it, how do you get your right answers? How do you figure out, you know, what's the difference between doing stuff for fun and science? Science, you write it down. And it's sort of the same thing here. But you got to be able to go back over your notes and be able to test it and duplicate it again. And you got to be able to have a quantification of measurement to make that happen. So if you're getting this tingly thing going on, this orgasmic response in your brain, what is causing this and how is it measured? Because it's really what it boils down to. Science being about, you know, math and whatnot. Lots of comparisons have been made. For example, synesthesia. It's according to Wikipedia here, integral to the subjective experience of this is a localized tingling sensation that many describe as similar to being gently touched. You know, if somebody were to drag, say, a feather across your arm and it makes your skin feel good, that's kind of what this is supposed to be done. But this is also stimulated by watching and listening to video media in the absence of any physical contact with another person, or by what we're doing right here during this episode. If this is turning your crank, hey, how you doing? If it's not, then that's just one of those things. I don't know. It's interesting. Here's another idea, another thing that I recorded that allegedly gives you that same sense of at least comfort without any type of threat or anxiety, at least in theory.
Getting in the car, starting it up, and going for a drive.
Okay, so it's simple. I just hopped in my car and took it around the block. I mean, there's no rocket science to that. So, you know, it's, I don't know. If it gives you a sense of comfort and relaxation, then I guess that's a good thing. You know, look, people who meditate, which I recommend you do, and I recommend children do it specifically. Learn that at a young age because it helps, you know, it helps calm their shit down, really. If you could teach two generations in a row, the importance and the use of meditation, I think you would have a very peaceful society. But, nevertheless, I digress. Back to ASMR. Because people who experience this, according to this, they report feeling relaxed and sleepy after watching or listening to ASMR content. You may come out of this episode of the show feeling somewhat relaxed. Doubtful, because I'm over here blathering all through it, and I've just completely wrecked that peaceful feeling for perhaps. But some journalists and commentators have portrayed ASMR as intimate. They go on to say there is no evidence of any connection between ASMR and sexual arousal. Now, I'd hate to think that that sound that we just heard of me driving around in a car would turn your crank. If it did, yeah, how you doing? I don't know. I don't have all those answers. I really don't. There's a ton of it out there. There's some places you can go to read about this sort of thing. Like I said, it is everywhere. If this has come to you as new to you as it is to me, perhaps like it was for most, I've heard of this. I don't quite get it. I want to learn more than you can. This is all completely harmless. It really is. If it's just, I don't know, there's triggers in the head. It's playing with the with the autonomic system. It's the autonomous sensory meridian response. It is, I don't know, it's it could be something to consider. I've armed you with information. I have one more I'm going to play. I have one more that we've got for you that's supposed to be like a really good one. So we'll do that. It's coming up right after this. You're listening to it right here from Radioland. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
So it really boils down to this. If you look at it as far as newspapers are concerned, is there an advertising model that works, or is there a subscription model that works? Or is it a weird combination of the two? Because that's kind of what we've come from in a lot of our media, right? You know, a ton of stuff has come through in different aspects where it's, you know, you pay to have access to this information, but you're filled with ads. At this point, it seems like you're double dipping, really. But nevertheless, it does bring up that conundrum of what to do. I did speak with a newspaper guy once. And I'll leave him nameless because, you know, we don't want to get him into any type of trouble. But he did say this, and I think he's correct in all that, is that the newspaper industry never really did catch up to the modern society of the way the world works. But he did say that if newspapers did nothing but carry sports scores and recipes, well, they'd have a winning paper.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or tune in. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
There you go. You've heard what's coming up next time on the program. Who knew that at some point I would get involved in this sort of discussion? But like I said, there are things that interest me to the point that I like to share them, and this is one of those things. Am I going to be one of those people that's going to go out and seek out ASMR videos or podcasts or stuff like that? Probably not. It's just, you know, I've looked at a few of them. Didn't quite do anything for me. You know, and along those lines, I'll tell you this. There are people on YouTube that will claim to be able to hypnotize you by watching their videos. Hypnosis videos are a thing on YouTube. I'm not necessarily susceptible to hypnotism, at least as far as I know, because I've checked out a couple of them. They're weird. They're very strange and bizarre, but they're a thing. It's not like, you know, it's not like I've had a, you know, well, you don't crave eating, you know, candy bars anymore, do you? Actually, I kind of do. Now you're talking about it, I think I will. It's kind of a weird world, because I think they're being responsible enough that they're not going to, you know, implant to you hypnotically certain things that are going to cause you to, I don't know, go nuts on something, you know, be a complete idiot in the deli department of your grocery store. Nothing like that. It's just about relaxation, but I guess it sort of displays what hypnosis is really kind of all about. So, you know, nevertheless. Now, on that note, before I wrap it up, before I get out of here, I got one more for you that we did. And I don't know how this is going to play out. I was off the rope, as it were, here. I wanted to do something different, and it's as mundane and it's as real as it could possibly be. It's this one. See if this one gives you the tingles.
Washing my hands in the bathroom.
Low grade euphoria, my butt. I pardon the pun. I had to have some fun. But look, you give a guy like me something to run with, and I'm going to play with it. You know, there's this thing you can do with sound, and it's supposed to trigger a different. The only thing I'd like to trigger is at least an open mind about something. Maybe go investigate it more for yourself. Find out more about these sorts of things and have a good time along the way. That's really what it's all about. What we talked about, autonomous sensory meridian response, ASMR. Search more about it online. There's a ton of sources out there, a ton of resources that you can get into. And if you really want to go down the rabbit hole, if you got nothing else left to do, head on over to ASMRuniversity.com. And you'll go, I swear to God, you'll go head first down a very dark hole. Well, it's not necessarily dark, but it's a hole. There is that. I gotta go. I've had enough of this. We'll see y'all next time. Y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.